T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system. All with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
There are over 5,000 songs on the radio that talk about home, but without realtors, there's a chance there wouldn't be any songs about home, or coming home, or take me home, or sweet home, or who says you can't go home. Luckily, there are over 1.3 million realtors who dedicate their lives to finding you the perfect place to sing home about. So count on members of the National Association of Realtors, one of the most trusted organizations since 1908. That's who we are.
Atlanta soccer fans, the season is finally here. So kick off your 2019 scarf collection with the limited edition 92.9 The Game scarf. Scarves will be sold at the 92.9 The Game tailgates, viewing parties, and online at 92.9thegame.com. $25 on site and $30 online. That includes shipping. Show off your Atlanta soccer passion with the 92.9 The Game scarf.
The only thing you can count on during March Madness is its unpredictability.
A heartbreaking defeat.
Catch every minute of the NCAA tournament here. March Madness plays here. WCGC Atlanta and WCGC HD1, a radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Connie will be joining us. Oh, in about 20 minutes or so, and we'll talk with the voice of Atlanta United
in a little while
about where the team stands right now. Hey, I was just looking here in the break at Twitter, and why in the world is Haloti Ngata trending on Twitter? Well, it turns out that a couple hours ago, he retired from the NFL.
He played about 13 years, something like that?
13 years. That's spot on. 13 unforgettable years, he said. But it wasn't just that he retired from the NFL, it's how he did it. And if you're on Twitter, you can go see that he's trending here. He went on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro this morning and posted to the gram, held up a sign, says, "I'm retiring from the NFL." And he says, "I'm retiring on top." Well, what does it say exactly here? I got to watch the gram thing moving.
Say, "I'm retiring from the NFL, top Mount Kilimanjaro," yep. Whatever the feat. You got the teams that he played
yep.
for.
Yeah. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty clever.
Like I said, man, it's a beautiful thing to be able to leave the game on your own terms. And this sounds like something that he was planning. He had it made up. That flag that he's holding, he had that made.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, "I'm going to climb to the top of Kilimanjaro. Then I'm going to quit.
Well, he is retiring on top if he's on top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
I am not mad at him, man. Beautiful thing to be able to retire on your own terms.
Well, it was like that dude we talked to at the Super Bowl. I wish I still had his name. I don't remember who was climbing the seven peaks.
Oh, you're talking about I know you're talking about. Yeah, climbing all the mountains in a short period. Yes.
Former players climbing all. He's done six of the seven. It's the highest peak on each of the seven continents, and the only one he hasn't done yet is Everest. And so he's doing that. That's the final of the seven. He's done six of the seven. I understand that Everest is the hardest one and all that kind of stuff. But boy, doesn't it seem to you that the hardest one would be that one in Antarctica? Because of the, maybe it's just as cold on top of Everest, I guess. But man, how brutally cold that would be.
John, I have no desire or no thought.
Mark Patterson?
No thought about trying to climb a mountain. That ain't what I'm trying to do.
You ever walk up Stone Mountain?
Uh-uh. Ain't trying to do it either. I know a lot of people do it. I've seen a lot of pictures, especially a lot of workout groups that I follow. They go there all the time, and they walk up Stone Mountain.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, no, I'm not about to do that.
I've done it probably 10 times, but the last time I did it, which was probably 10 years ago, I've forgotten because it had been a number of years since I had done it, that once you get past the tree line,
mm-hmm.
you think, oh, you're past the tree line into the open rock. You think, oh, I'm there. Oh, no. oh, no, you're only about halfway.
No, I'm not about to do that.
You, and then you got to climb that open rock all the way to the top. And I forgot how much of a workout it is. It is.
No,
a
I can imagine. I can imagine. Stone Mountain is, you know, it's not. That's not a mountain I desire to climb.
And that's just.
I'm good.
Stone Mountain. I mean, forget about, you know, Kilimanjaro. I mean, real mountain climbing. Stone Mountain is a walk in the park.
Yeah, because you got it like on Kilimanjaro. You have to set up, isn't it? You have to set up like certain checkpoints
base
to
camps,
rest.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm not about to do all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's mountain climbing there.
Yeah, I'm not about to do all that.
No, I'm not about to do that. That Mark Patterson, yeah, he's climbed six of the. He climbed Kilimanjaro in Africa and whatever the one was in Antarctica. I guess he climbed the highest one. What's the highest mountain in I guess Denali, right? Is the highest mountain McKinley, right? In North America, some peak of South America. I mean, congratulations to him. Now he's got to climb. He's got to go to Asia and climb the monster in Mount Everest. Good luck with that.
It's too much stuff that can go wrong. Like supplies come up missing, freezing to death, things of that nature. No, I'm good. I'll take my chances right here in America. On these streets of Atlanta, I take my chances here.
Yeah, no, I'm not an extreme sports guy. I never really was an extreme sports guy. I don't understand people who do these extreme. Like, I did not know, because I caught something over the, like an X Games thing over the weekend, and they were showing highlights from the World Bungee Jumping Championships.
You're not going to do that. You know the most adventure I want to have.
Base jumping, pardon me, base jumping championships. And they were jumping off of like a bridge. And I went, no.
I do. I've always said, though, I want to take a trip to Japan, right, and buy a pair of drawers out of a vending machine. That's about as exciting as it gets for me. Because I've always read where they have draws. They sell draws in the vending machine in Japan. And I'm going to go. I want to go to Japan. It's two things I want to do. Buy me a pair of draws out the vending machine and do the Mario Kart racing.
Mario Kart racing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's the, as extreme as I'm going to
so
get.
So many jokes that we could crack.
I know.
Right
I did.
What are you talking about? Oh, and ride, what you mean? Ride the Mario Kart in my drawers?
Captain Underpants.
Ride the Mario Kart in my drawers around Tokyo.
Living
the dream. Yes, that's what I want to do.
Well, but you've been in a race car 200 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, I have. I've done that.
Yeah, that I've done too. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, and it's invigorating. But I do that every now and then when I go on one of these beautiful highways.
And what's funny about that, there are two things about being in a race car at that speed. You know, I was going around. I did it at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And the first thing is that when you look out the side, it's just colors. Green, blue, green, 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 blue, right? You know, I mean, it's going so fast. But you're clear as a bell out the front window. And you don't notice the bank that much. I mean, you notice it. But you're hugging the road so hard in the aerodynamics of one of those cars that you kind of like lean a little bit. But when you stand there, Hugh, at the bottom of the bank, and, you know, if you're just standing, you can't walk up it. It's so steep.
Yeah, because it's like, and they tell you got to hit the corners when you go into NASCAR. Yeah, it's amazing how those cars handle. And they always say, don't be afraid to put it, because the faster you go, the more it's supposed to hug the road. That's why they go so fast. But, yes, I like
now, I do
that,
like
man.
Speed. I tell you one extreme thing I could see myself doing. I would get into a rocket car on the Bonneville Salt Flats and do, like, 400 miles an hour. That I might do.
That's pretty fun. Or go get on the Autobahn.
I was on the auto route in France, kind of the same thing one time, and I think I told you, and I went, I was that.
See, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried that, and it was a little bit too much for me. I went, no. Because you got these people doing these, you know, extreme sports things like, you know, Ironman and whatnot. Because the Iditarod, you know, is that over? I should get my Iditarod update. How did Jesse Holmes do? I actually was rooting for somebody.
It's the dog race.
Yeah.
The dog race.
Let's see if it's over. That thing should about be over, right?
John, you're the only one who watched the Iditarod. I did not get the Iditarod reports. That does not ping on my phone. Not the Iditarod, no.
Yeah, I know. I'll look that up. Talking about, of course, the bracket challenge here as we get ready for the beginning of the tournament, which is tomorrow, and the first four. Not playing, they're in, and I don't ever want to say that to these teams. And I know a lot of fans get mad, like we have our opening games tomorrow between NC Central, especially when it comes to the 16 seeds, North Carolina Central and North Dakota State, Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M. And they get mad because they're forced to go to Dayton and play an extra game. But I kind of look at it this way. I've always looked at these games with these, especially with these four teams. I'm talking about the 11 seeds, but these 16 seeds, Hugh, what are the odds that, because the winner of North Carolina Central and North Dakota State has to play Duke, right?
Yeah, that's a sacrificial lamb.
Okay. So at least when they play each other tomorrow, the winner of that game can say, we won a game in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and that's all it is, John. You're giving some smaller market teams opportunity because Prairie View A&M has, what was that, what's the team we were talking about? Prairie View plays F. Dickerson, Fairleigh Dickerson. So if they could pull that game off, then they say they won an NCAA tournament game.
Right, and then they would have to play Gonzaga.
Yeah, and then they're going to go home. Then they're getting ready to go home.
But, you know, good for them. I mean, of course, last year when the 16 finally beat the 1, when Maryland Baltimore County beat Virginia, everybody said, oh, you know, we finally got a 16 beating a 1. I don't see that happening this year. I just don't. I mean, is Iona beating North Carolina? Is Gardner-Webb beating Virginia? Well,
no, Gardner-Webb's not.
Not after last year.
No.
I mean, maybe a setup, and, Prairie View's not beating Gonzaga, and North Carolina Central or North Dakota State's not beating Duke. Well, I don't know anybody's beating Duke.
Yeah, and not only that, Gardner-Webb was just happy to be there. This is their first NCAA tournament appearance in NCAA.
Yeah, right.
Because they used to be NAIA school, yeah. First appearance in the NCAA, so yeah, they're not. No, that's not going to happen.
If Georgia State manages to upset Houston, they would face the winner of Ohio State and Iowa State. You know, if Georgia State's going to be advancing, they'd almost need an upset on the other side of the bracket. Ohio State's beatable. Iowa State, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Iowa State's pretty good.
Yeah, so I think in my bracket when I got mine filled out as far as that game is concerned, I have Iowa State over Ohio State. So yeah. That's not looking too good for Georgia State if they get past Houston.
Houston's
going to be a tough one, though. Houston's going to be a tough out.
I just don't know much about this team. I guess I'll learn about it when I watch the game, that's for sure. I may learn that Houston's pretty darn good. And because I didn't Deshaun say originally that Houston could be a Final Four team? Somebody, I think it was Seth Davis, one of the guys had Houston in the Final Four yesterday in the CBS show. I think they had like Duke, North Carolina, and Gonzaga, and then Houston.
And you know what? Again, it's hard. It's
Duke,
really
Virginia and Gonzaga and Houston.
It's really hard to say, though, John, because it's funny with these games. You're one and done, and if you have a bad shooting night, or if things aren't clicking for you right away, you could get sent home. It's definitely some upsets in the makings.
That's going to be a fun time too. And your bragging rights come at our website 929thegame.com. Click on contest, fill out the bracket. And we will be shouting out the leaders on a daily basis once we get rolling in the tournament. And, of course, the bracket doesn't start till Thursday. You don't have to worry about the first four because we don't, you know, like most brackets, we don't pay much attention to the first four in terms of, well, it's not part of the bracket. Let's just put it that way. So the first game,
John's being an NCAA snob a little bit.
Well, no.
You're trying, though. I give you that. You're trying. You're trying not to be a little snobby about it, but you kind of still are a little bit.
No, I'm just saying it's not part of the bracket challenge. You have till Thursday to get your bracket.
These are the Mulligan picks. The first four, the Mulligan picks.
I wonder what the farthest the first four teams ever gone is. Is the first four team ever
VCU
made the
VCU made it to the Final Four, right?
Out of the first four,
I believe so. I'll double check that, but I think VCU made that Final Four run.
Wow, I didn't realize they were out of the first four. All right, well, there you go. Make a Final Four out of the first four. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. If that's the case, that's pretty impressive.
That would be seriously impressive. Well, they must have been an 11 seed or a 12 seed.
Yeah, they were an 11 seed that year, defeating Southern Cal in the first four, then went on to beat Georgetown, Purdue, Florida State, Kansas in the Elite Eight.
Wow.
Before falling to Butler there in the Final Four.
I mean, that was that Shaka Smart team?
Oh, it's not a bad run.
That's a pretty darn good run.
It's not a bad run.
We're talking about the Final Four and the March Madness bracket that's up at our website, 929thegame.com. This hour of the show is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, John and Hugh at the Kia Studios. Kind of looking at, you know, back in the weekend, the Hawks had a tough weekend. They have a big homestand this week, three games, three hard games for the Atlanta Hawks this week as they get back home to take on teams that are all vying for playoff potential. First up, the Houston Rockets on Tuesday night, so here comes the Beard. They'll be playing Utah. They'll be playing Philadelphia at State Farm Arena. Tickets available at Hawks.com. But you know, this is going to be a tough run. At this point, the Hawks look like a number five seed. And so one of the things to watch for in the tournament is, you know, some of the stars to see, you know, who the Hawks might actually be looking at, you know, in terms of, you know, this is where these players will kind of get introduced a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I mentioned Carson Edwards at Purdue. He's projected as a second-round pick, and some of the NBA mock drafts have Carson Edwards coming to the Atlanta Hawks in the second round as a shooting guard. Carson Edwards can light it up. He's a really nice player. So it would be interesting to see if Carson Edwards drops into that second round of the Hawks.
You know, it's funny when you talk about how this is the stage the guys shine. I think with the Carolinas, Tyler Hansborough. I think you remember him way back. I think it was Carolina he went to. And everybody talked about how he played well in the tournament, how he played defensively, and how, you know, his skill set probably wouldn't translate to the NBA. But he carved out a nice little living for himself in the NBA, playing defense and being that defender guy.
Yeah, but you got to be careful too with the tournament because it can kind of sucker you in a little bit. The Hawks back in the late 70s, they got Butch Lee and Goose Givens. Butch Lee was the star guard at Marquette, and Goose Givens the star of the NCAA tournament. Kentucky won it that year. I think Goose had 41 in the title game, and they got both those guys in the first round of the draft, and our town was going nuts that we just got Butch Lee and Goose Givens on the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, you might as well have said we got, Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett. I mean, two huge stars, and neither of them panned out. Neither of them were any good in the NBA. It happens.
And that's the thing, man, and that's why I'm still stuck on what Travis Link said last year. You got to pick these kids' brains apart and see what really motivates them. What really drives them? Is it just making it to the NBA or being a special player in the NBA?
Well, look at his pick of John Collins, a 19th pick overall. Yeah. Look how he's developed in just a short period of time into a true star in the game.
I think the stars have aligned right for the Atlanta Hawks as far as getting Coach Pierce and the young players that you got. Now you just have to add pieces. And I think the most important thing, again, is to add those pieces that makes sense, and you do your due diligence as far as scouting is concerned.
Mike Conley going to join us. We'll talk about what now for Atlanta United as the layoff finally, in terms of, you know, time spent playing one game in 26 days as this stop down almost comes to the fore here. We'll see if they can get the rest they need and kind of fix their problems, because right now the team's still got them. Mike Conley next. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
To the big dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win.
Oh! Catch our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Conley's report brought to you by Brightbox Electrical and all the fine folks at Brightbox. Proud to be part of the Atlanta United report. Before we get to United, hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good morning.
Are you going to fill out a bracket?
I am not. And I know that makes me like the 1% of, you know, men aged 25 to 54 in this country. But I feel like it's the same way I feel with fantasy football. When I fill out a bracket, I end up pulling for certain results to happen. And I feel like I do a better job of covering the tournament if I'm just a totally neutral observer. I don't want to be watching the Nevada-Florida game knowing I picked Florida, seeing Nevada down two with the ball late and hoping for a result. I'd rather just enjoy the game.
I agree. I hear you.
Plus, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Like, I've only watched maybe five
college basketball games all year, four of them involving a team, Penn State, that didn't even make the tournament.
It's a little overwhelming. Now, with that being said, switching gears a little bit to Atlanta United.
Yes.
Now, yesterday, it wasn't the result that we all wanted. Mm-hmm. We obviously know that. But was there any silver linings that you could take from yesterday's match?
I think they played a lot better than they did last Sunday against Cincinnati. I would say what they did a week ago was probably about as badly as they have played. I think they've taken some positive steps since then. I think what we need to evaluate now is how much of this has to do with fatigue. Okay, because it's not there yet. All right, you shouldn't be drawing at home against Philadelphia. That's a match you should be winning. You should have more than two goals in three league matches. You should have more than three goals out of your last five matches.
Right.
I mean, that's got to get better. There's no doubt about it. Frank DeBoer said last night that they were sloppy, and it's because they were tired. I think he's right. But if that's what we're going on, then you're going to need to have to see some improvement in Columbus in 2 weeks. And really, it might even take longer than that because you're going to lose a lot of guys now to international call-ups this next week, which means they're not going to be able to train here in Atlanta with their teammates. They will come back from long travel. For example, Argentina is going over to Spain and then Morocco. So for Pitti, he's going to have to come back to Morocco, go right to Columbus and play. That's tough. Carlton, I think, has to go to Spain. I've heard a rumor that Miles Robinson has to go to Spain for a U23 camp. So even the Columbus match might still look a little ragged. But if they aren't showing tangible improvement by the time they get to that New England match, the second weekend of April, then I think it would really be time for concern. Because at that point, you can't use fatigue, you can't use lack of training as an excuse anymore.
You want to ask Mike a question? Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, a good place to do it at 404-741-0929. So let me ask you this question. I agree with you. I mean, you can't use it. What if we just give them a pass to this point? But when they get back for that New England game, we need to see some change here.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to see them, you know, kind of settle down on their lineup a little bit too, and kind of determine where it is everybody. Because is Escobar going to be back by then? Or
hopefully.
Is it,
yeah. Hopefully, yeah. And that'll answer some questions. I think what Frank is doing with the lineup, and there was a lot of chatter about that yesterday because, like, you saw Parkhurst as a left wing back. You saw mm-hmm. Nagbe pushed out to the left. Unusual.
Right.
Unusual roles for some people. By the way, Nagbe played left wing back in Portland just 2 years ago under Caleb Porter. So it's not like that's something he's never had to do before. I think what Frank is doing is he's looking at his team right now. He's probably going to some of them and saying, how much can you give me in terms of time out there on the pitch? Because you've got some exhausted guys right now. And I think he's taking that information and putting his best 11 out there. And if the pieces all don't fit within a certain formation, okay, we'll make it work. We're going to go out there and play. And I think that's what they tried to do yesterday. You could make an argument that maybe Frank has not rotated the club enough. I understand that because you've played seven matches over 24 days. It feels like you're seeing a lot of the same guys playing. But with Bello and Escobar being out, with Kratz being out for a lot of this stretch, with Pogba still just kind of working his way into the club, you're not quite as deep as I think a lot of fans think they are right now, especially because you don't have Bello and Escobar. So it's made the lineup very challenging for Frank DeBoer to manage, and it's made the rotation even more challenging. But I think he's done about as well as he can. You know, it's gone back and forth with Tito coming in and out. He bought Barco a rest on Sunday, and then when he came in, he made an immediate impact on the game because he had fresh legs, scored 3 minutes after he came in. Now you're probably looking at Pitti. He might not play in Columbus because, as I said, he has to come back from Morocco, it seems, with Argentina. He's doing about as well as he can rotating with the limited options that he has, I think.
Speaking of Pitti, do you feel like, because there's a lot of talk, even within the broadcast, by the way, great broadcast,
Thank you.
But there's a lot of talk about Pitti and when is he going to turn the corner.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he's starting to press a little bit?
Yes.
Feel like he's on a little bit of pressure?
I do. He's struggling. He did not have a great match yesterday. He did come very close to an assist. He put in a nice cross to Joseph. Joseph hit the crossbar. Doesn't usually do that. And that's a bigger issue, by the way, for Atlanta United. It's not just a Pitti thing. I mean, you had 10 created chances last night, according to Opta, the official stat keeper. 10 created chances that led to only 2 shots on target. That's not good enough. And 10 created chances that led to only 1 goal. It's not good enough. Okay, now, Joseph hitting the crossbar, that's one of those chances. Pitti put in a good ball to him. I feel like Pitti is really, really close, like within a whisker of some really spectacular stuff, but it just has not come together yet, and it's been, at best, inconsistent for him. I really think the best thing that can happen for him right now is to get with that Argentina national team. Go home. Go to wherever they're going. Get your head right. Get with your mates, okay? You know, talk to Messi. Talk to all of those great players from Argentina. Just hit the mental reset button.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back here maybe fresh, maybe a little more loose. There's a lot of pressure when you're the reigning South American player of the year. When you come over here on this huge transfer fee to go out and immediately perform, and he's a young guy, he's 25 years old, he might really feel like it's up to him to take a game over and put the team on his back, and that's really not his job yet. But it does take a while to build chemistry, and it's going to take longer because he's not going to be able to be with Atlanta United over the next week and a half. But I think once that chemistry is developed and he can stay healthy, look out. Because we've seen flashes of the, world-class player that he is. Right now, though, he is struggling, no doubt about it.
From the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, a question for you about Tito and Julian having fairly good chemistry and whether or not that should be the lineup we use at the moment until Martinez, until Gonzalo gets his game.
I think you'll see it in Columbus. Now, Tito is called up to Paraguay, but they aren't leaving the country. They play at Red Bull Arena, and then I think they play in Santa Clara. So I think you'll probably see that in Columbus. Gressel's been one of Atlanta United's three best players this year. I think probably with Miles Robinson and probably Joseph Martinez. I think those are your three best players right now. So Gressel, he's got his spot. What's going to be interesting now is with Escobar coming back, sounds like Frank DeBoer sees Escobar as a right center back. So I think that keeps Gressel's spot as a right wing back safe. When you see Escobar and Gressel combining, and I know the question's about Tito, but when you start to see Escobar and Gressel combining, look out, because that's going to be pretty lethal going down the right side.
By the way, heck of a save by Robinson yesterday.
Oh, yeah, clearing that shot off the line in the first. He's been unbelievable. He has just been absolutely incredible. And yesterday, Philadelphia, they threw Fafa Pico at him. Miles shut him down. So then they threw Corey Burke at him. Miles shut him down again. And this is after he dominated Rogelio Funes Mori of Monterrey on Wednesday. So Miles continues to answer the challenge. Had a couple mistakes. No one played perfectly yesterday. I mean, Miles had a couple mistakes. Everyone did. But he's been the highlight of the year so far for me for Atlanta United.
You know what, Mike? It's funny because the consensus for us, we feel like after this short break that Atlanta United should come back and they should be a little bit better.
Yes.
But when we're sitting there talking about it, you still have some key figures that are not going to be here.
Yeah.
They're going to be with their respective clubs and in their respective countries. So how realistic is it for us to expect that in the next match that Atlanta United, the light's going to go on?
Well, for most of the team, they're getting a week off. So, yeah, you do have some guys who are going to play for national teams this week. But for guys like Michael Parkhurst and Eric Rometty, I mean, Rometty was on fumes at the end of that match yesterday. For guys like Jeff Lorenowitz, this will still be a good opportunity for them to get some rest. So it's not perfect, but you do get a lot of help. I really think, again, the true point where you can evaluate how far this team has come is not in the Columbus match. It's going to be in the New England match because after Columbus, you have another week off. And there is no international window there. So everyone will be in the club for 13 days. They can train, they can rest, they can regen, do whatever. Go to Hilton Head, go to Amelia Island, I don't know.
Boom.
But be a little more patient. I think a lot of people are expecting immediate improvement in Columbus, and it might not happen there. It might have to wait for New England.
Yeah, a couple of your questions that are on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm going to ask Mike in a break, and then I'll shoot you the answers. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Good to see you.
All righty. Mike, Connie brought to you by Brightbox. As we continue on this very busy Monday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Keep it here for all the latest from Florida and our Atlanta Braves.
Catch our exclusive Braves coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, spring about to be sprung in 8 days from now.
Yeah, you know what that means, John.
In 3 days from now, I can't do math.
That's sundress season. It's a special time of year around these parts. Beautiful thing.
Also means spring football. Georgia getting ready to crank it up in Athens and get going on spring football. G-Day is April the 20th. Boy, is April going to be a busy month. Whew. Man, you'll have G-Day on the 20th. You'll have T-Day on the 26th. I think Georgia State's going to be the 13th, if I'm not mistaken. The Braves are going to be home opener against the Cubs will be in April, and we'll get going with United again. Well, we got the draft. We have the Masters. Man, April going to be busy.
Yeah. It's always kind of weird to me how when the start of baseball is still kind of cold. And it all depends on what region of the country you're playing in. You could potentially get a baseball game where it's some snow could fall be on the ground when you go play it.
I was in Denver in 2005 and their home opener got snowed out against the Marlins.
Man, listen, that to me
it snowed that day like something fierce.
That to me is crazy. I remember a couple times in Philadelphia, the Phillies used to go up there for the opener. And it would be snowing, and I'm like, man, what to do? This is not baseball weather. This is not baseball weather. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Let's see what we've got for next week in Atlanta. It looks like it's going to be upper 60s, maybe a shower or two here and there.
I take that all day. You know what's funny? This weekend when I went out
get home against SunTrust Park.
When I went out for St. Patrick's Day, it wasn't a bad day. It wasn't. Really, really cold. Well, St. Patrick's Day, well, technically Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Hung out with my man Carl Dukes. Had a couple of Hey Man Ales. Hung out at Meehan's Pub. It was a nice time. It was pretty cool.
Do you have corned beef and cabbage?
Nah, but I had a couple. Can we still call them car bombs? Or is that not PC?
I don't know.
Well, I had some Irish car bombs. I had a couple of those, maybe four or five. And yeah, one man, Derek Hackershot, the D-Hack.
Is that like Jameson and a Killian's or something? Or
yeah, you got the beer,
right?
And then you got the shot I forgot what it was called, the cream or whatever.
The Irish cream.
Yeah, but this is the kicker.
Like Bailey's or something?
I think so. I forgot. It was really good though. But this is the kicker. They had at Meehan's, they had the Irish car bomb cups that you already have. Like, so it was already like, you know, they had I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. So, yeah, you know, after a while, after you get like two or three of them car bombs, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
it's
I was going to say.
After a while, it just all tastes like water, you know? Then, you know, we had to wash it down with some Caymus and we told some jokes.
Yeah, I used
told
to
a
drink.
Couple jokes.
But when I was a drinker, man, when I was in my 20s, we would go to like Atkins Park or Manuel's, and that's what you would get. You would get Grand Marnier and a big beer and drop the shot glass of Grand Marnier into the beer. Two or three of those, yeah, you were pretty good.
Yeah, you were real friendly.
You were real friendly.
Apparently, when I have a couple of adult beverages, I like to talk. I guess I like to talk when I get a little couple of adult beverages. I didn't know that about myself. I guess I do. I guess I'm kind of friendly. I'm a little friendly when I get the
mighty strange.
Yeah, basically that's what it is.
Better than the alternative. I had a friend of mine who turned. He went Hulk. You know what I mean?
No, I have some friends like that. Beer muscles.
Yeah,
like they'll get a little something in their system. First thing you know, they're at the club taking the shirt off.
Yep.
I know Daryl. Know I'm talking about the friends that do that, and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy right here.
Yeah, that's why I keep to myself.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh.
I gotta walk away at that point.
Turned into Hulks.
Because the next thing you know, we're going to be in the back of a cruiser somewhere, you know.
Yeah. Or they want to dance. Or you have some friends that do the Terry Crews, and they want to dance. They want to take their shirt off in the club and dance. Dance like there's no tomorrow, which is okay. As long as you're not doing anything that's going to get anybody hurt, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If you want to do that, that's fine. Just don't hang around me when you do it, though. That's I don't want to try to do that.
Yeah, we got our Irish on. Yeah, we were at the... They had those Irish egg rolls. Oh, man, those things are so good.
So did you have a cup? Did you drink any green beer? Did
you get any green beer? I just drank wine.
Is that it?
Chilean and Argentinian wine for St. Patrick's Day. Sorry about that. It just occurs to me I probably should have done something. But I can't drink Guinness. I can't drink stout beer. It's just, you know, see the problem with like.
It'll get you drunk.
Well, no, it's not that so much. It's that, you know, like Dos Equis or those big heavy beers, you know, or St. Pauli Girl, you know, those big heavy beers. I drink one of those and I'm like, I think I'm full.
Yeah, that's what you want, though. And you got a buzz. If you drink it fast enough, you got a buzz. That's what you want.
But I drink one and I'm full and I'm like, okay, I can't drink anymore. Because those things, you know what I'm saying? It's like liquid bread or something.
Yeah, here it is. It's a half pint Guinness, okay. A shot of Jameson, and a splash of Bailey's. That's what it was. Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, two or three of those to set you right.
But you know, it's funny. I don't know if it works like this for anybody else, but when you get that, like, say that first initial drink of alcohol, that turns the heater on, the thermostat on in your body. You get warm, you get a little sweaty until you adjust, because then you know it's about to go down. You know it's about to go down after that happens. But the good thing for me was the Meehan's that I was at, it was across the street from where I live, so I didn't have to drive. And when I did decide to really put one down, I had somebody come get me. Yeah, and I was, you know, I had a designated driver and a pint of Camus.
And we didn't
so
have
it was a wrap.
We did not have Uber, you know, when we were growing up, so we didn't have that option. And yeah, I know.
That's why you always have to have a friend that does not drink. You have to. Especially if you're going to be a guy, because see, if I'm going to drink, I want to enjoy myself. I don't want to have to worry about having a drink and then worrying about the limit because I have to drive. So I'm going to call somebody and tell them to come get me.
Well, the best place in the world I've ever been to celebrate, you know, St. Patrick's Day or the NCAA tournament or anything like that is Vegas. It's, by the way, the greatest place in the world to watch the tournament is Vegas. In a sports book in Vegas, you can bet every single game. You know, just kind of, you know, put your feet up. Places jump and everybody's screaming. It's a tremendous place at like Mandalay Bay or Caesars or someplace. The sports book is just so much fun to watch the tournament there. Those gigantic big easy chairs. You get yourself a big burger. You're good to go. Oh, it's just so much fun. I miss that. I wish we could take that trip back there to that. I hope that we get sports gambling in Georgia someday because that's how I'd watch the tournament.
Wait a minute, aren't they supposed to vote on that in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, they were supposed to. I kind of lost track of that. What happened with the casino thing in Georgia? Anybody know that casino vote in Georgia? They were going to move it out of committee. I know that, but did it get moved out? I have to go back and check at that. That's an old story. I'll have to see what happens with that. But if they ever get a sports book, because, you know, sports gambling legal across the country, it's a lot of fun. The NCAA tournament at a sports book. All the people betting on games. Because you can bet like $10 on every game. Nothing big or anything like that.
I don't know, John. I don't want to say wasting because some people really live to gamble and they really enjoy gambling. I don't think losing money to me is fun.
Oh, I hate it.
I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to take that chance and bet on something and lose it. I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to do that.
Powerball is $550 million. $550 million?
$550 million. I need to put that app back on my phone. I need to make that happen.
$550 million, just say it. John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, top of the hour on this Bracket Madness Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.